It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that was truly designed with you in mind, a show that will move you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's a show packed with my two co-hosts that I definitely don't want to do it without. That's my guys, Niles and KJ. Happy hump day, guys.
Hey, happy hump day.
Happy hump day.
I know, right? Why do I always get excited when hump day comes?
So happy.
All right, I like
that. This is when it goes down. Right. This is all when it goes down.
I'll accept that. Mm-hmm. Now, on the show, mm-hmm. we've been dealing with principles for success. And we started February 3rd, the beginning of the month, talking about 7 steps to realizing your success and winning as a result. So we're going to wrap this show up today, guys, with that principle, the last principle, the step in that principle, which is, of course, what was my last principle? Where is my principle? I am so sorry. Planning. We're talking about planning today. Now, let's recap. We said that when you know that success is built in you, that's a step. I talked about how to change your mind. And there were 2 things that I wanted you to kind of remember when you're looking at changing your mind. One is you deserve it. You do. And then 2, you have to already see yourself as successful. The 3rd thing I talked about was being humble. And Niles made it real clear what being humble was. You know, it is really a dependence on God, like you need your next breath. Even when you're winning, you still need to be humble. And then the 4th thing I talked about as a principle for success was having the right attitude. And this particular attitude, I was saying your mindset. You got to have the right attitude. The 5th thing I talked about was being constant in your relationship with God. I think I mentioned that he's not your sugar daddy. I call him daddy, not sugar daddy. So that is really, really important to be in constant relationship with him. The 6th thing I talked about last week was being prudent. And that's just making certain that you're minding your business. You want to make certain that when you have things that you got to get done, you're just sticking to it. It's that being astute in being prudent. And the last thing that I want to talk about today on with your keys to success is planning. And planning is just strategy. You got to sit down. The Bible tells us that no man builds a house without counting the cost. So you want to plan your success. You really do. Again, it's in you. It's not outside of you. And what I really just kind of want to make certain, don't compare yourself or what you're doing as a way of saying that, well, that person is successful and I'm not. No, what you don't want to be on the wrong side of is doing something so well, and then at the end of your life, find out is not what you were supposed to do. Ouch. So with that in mind, planning. Niles, KJ, take it away as to how our listeners and viewers can plan or strategize their success.
Well,
who got okay. I'll just say something quick. You mentioned building a house. When it comes to building a house, they don't just go and build. You have to start with the foundation first and build on top of that. They have to plan and prepare. They have to plan in order to build a sturdy house. You don't just do something. You have to have a blueprint behind it. Without that plan, it is hard to do things strategically. It is hard mm-hmm. to follow all the necessary steps to get to the goal, to get to that result and product that you're looking for. It's pretty plain and simple. Preparation, prevents poor performance.
Amen.
And when it comes to building your house, you make sure that that structure and that concrete is sturdy and strong.
Absolutely. I mean, he said it best. You know, I'll take it a little step further. The show that we're on right now takes planning, because we can come out here and talk. Yeah. We can talk our heads off, but will that be really engaging to you guys? No, you guys will probably click off. You guys will probably click off. So we do go through this. We go every week, maybe every month, we go through what we're going to be talking about and how are we going to impact the audience. Okay, how are they going to react if you say this? How are we going to react when we say this? Should we mention this topic? Is this what the people need right now? So proper preparation does prevent poor performance. You give an idiot with a plan and you give a genius with talent. I would just say the guy with the plan would outrun the person with talent. Like we've seen that throughout history when it comes down to sports. Even class. You ever have that moment when you're in class, like, oh no, I got it. You go ahead and take the test. You know, without even preparing what the material, you won't hit your potential that you could have had. Absolutely. if you were able to study.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I just want to add, of course, this is plain and simple, but planning is nothing without execution. If you look up what planning means, it says the process of thinking about the activities required to achieve a desired result. It is first and foremost the activity to achieve desired results. It involves creation and maintenance. Think about that word maintenance. Maintenance means that, yes, you have that seed, but you have to water it. You have to consistently work at that thing. So make sure you execute. You know, that's a basic concept, but it is not easy, especially when storms may arise. When you might have some bumps and bruises here and there. Mm-hmm. When the most unfortunate events, things that you could not foresee, when those things transpire, how do you push through that plan? That's maintenance. You got to keep on pushing. You got to keep on going. So plan, but also execute. A lot of people plan, but it's hard to follow that whole process until the end, because you'll deal with discouragement and all kinds of other things. So, you know, put a realistic frame.
I have a question I want to propose to the field. What was one thing one area that you went into without a plan, and how did that go?
Oh boy. We're being open, honest, and sincere here, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Because that was
I've got to. You know, I was a teenage mom. I'm not going to sit here and say at 15, I planned to have a child at 16. That's a lie. I did not. You know, I did everything that my mama told me not to do. And, you know, I look at that thing, you know, I look at the situation now, some 33, almost 34 years ago, being nominated for the Air Force Academy, graduating, you know, at the top of my class a year early, and now I'm pregnant. Ay, ay, ay. You know, what do you do? But I remember that I had to keep going. I had to. It's like when you know that there's something on the inside. And even as a child, I knew that I was supposed to be doing something. And I'm thinking, now, a baby at this age, you know, the embarrassment that I had to go through, and folk are, you know, a small town, Mississippi. So folk are, oh, she won't do anything now, you know. So it's like I had to kind of keep my head down and still plan. So, yeah, I'm living this. I've been living this thing for a long time, but that was one instance where I did not plan. And I really, some years later, had to ask myself, how hard did I really make my life? You know, how hard do we really make life? That was a difficult thing, but, you know, the outcome is just absolutely gorgeous, because I actually got pregnant and I've had one of my best friends now.
Hey, shout out to all the single moms out there. If you guys are struggling with how am I going to make life work, you know, look at Dr. T, because she has, well, with the help of God, of course, you know.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely.
That's a whole shift, because you can just imagine the immense pressure that was just laid on 15 years old.
Can you imagine that, man? Oh,
yes. That's crazy. That's crazy to foresee. But I know there are people in this world where that happens, you know, and you are that flicker of hope for those individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. I tell anybody, please, man, continue. Your babies don't stop us. They just give us a reason to get up every morning. You know, it gives us a reason to grind a little harder. So whatever you if you find yourself in that kind of situation, God bless you. You're going to be fine. It's not the end of the world. Okay. But one foot in front of the other and plan what you say, Niles, and execute. You got to execute your plan.
Yep.
That is, you were going to say something. It's your turn to answer that question now, Niles. I answered. I put my business out there.
Your take. That's what you take.
Okay. Man, I would say recently, me jumping out to L.A., not knowing anybody here, not really having any connections, there's a plan, but at the same time, there's a lot of the unforeseen unknown that you're jumping into.
Yeah.
I planned as best as I could, but part of my planning was preparation, you know, maybe financially or just in case this or that happens, but who knows what LA may deal you when you get here.
Yeah.
So part of my planning, and I think about a house, I am the house, you know what I'm saying? So part of my planning was to make sure that I had my foundation internally where it needed to be. Because it's not just LA that will save you or put you in this position. It is what God put inside of you that you'll be able to utilize along that journey. So my planning and my preparation at that point was building myself up internally and making sure that I was prepared for, you know, the storm and the weather, the good, the bad, the ugly, the positive, the ups and downs, and so on. So, yeah, definitely that's a situation where I just kind of jumped into it, especially hearing all the stories about, you know, how many people fall coming here and so on. So there was a part where you plan, but you're planning for the unknown, you know? So I would definitely say in that, you know, that's a situation where I jumped into something and I planned for things to happen, but I had no idea what I was going to go into. So that's a situation you know, but it worked out and I'm still here and things are continuously progressing and moving forward. But yeah, I had a plan, but I didn't have a plan.
I absolutely love it.
My moment was, I planned my entire life. I planned where I was going to go to college. I planned where I was going to be. I said, I'm about to be the best, like, defensive back in the NFL. Like, I was like, this is where I'm striving for, you know, but but my story is a different take on it. It's funny how God is just like, all right, cool. You're not doing that. I got injured in both my knees and I end up in LA. And I'm like, okay, I'm here. And now I'm acting. That was unplanned for me, you know?
Really?
That, no. Like, if you want to go through my story, we can do that whole different
thing. Yeah.
Acting was on my radar, you know? It was not on my radar at all. So that was a moment for me where I had realized I'm not in control. No matter how much I do plan, it's God, 100%. Because I can plan, I'm going to do this on this day, this on this day. But no, look, there's a car accident blocking the freeway, you know? Yeah. I can't get to my job, you know? What's going to happen? I'm about to be late. So I have to go into those moments and realize, okay, what can I do right now? What can I handle right now? Because I have no control. There's some things can't control.
Yeah.
That's very, very
true. For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Good question,
I think based on what KJ just said, and I can definitely, you know, empathize and connect with that. I feel like part of planning is yielding to God.
Oh, for sure.
Because I feel like when you plan, you plan on a humanly basis, but you also have to yield a part of yourself because there are so many unforeseen things. And at the end of the day, God is creator, you know, he knows it all, you know, so plan to yield to God first, but then also plan to, you know, do your due diligence when it comes to these worldly terms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say this before we move to our next segment. When you pray, because I was very guilty of this. I would pray, read my scriptures, believe, but I wouldn't do anything. So it's like, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting, you know, Lord God, I just want you to do it. And I'm believing. You can't tell me I don't have the faith. I got it. but I didn't do anything. So please don't waste your time in that shenanigan. When you plan, like Niall said, plan to wait on God, plan to plan in him, plan to execute in him. You'll know when to do it, but don't just, whatever you do, don't pray, sit there, believe it, and then do nothing. Just my little take on that. And with that, I'd like to encourage all of the listeners and viewers to please be interactive with us. We'd love to hear from you. The number you'd want to dial and reach us is 323-203-0815. Again, that number, 323-203-0815. And don't forget, Monday morning, 7-ish, I'm on Facebook Live.
You always give me the 7-ish.
I know, right?
Because I'll be there.
7-ish, right?
Hold on.
Do try to get there at 7. I swear to you, I do. Get up and get ready. And it's like something will happen and you're like, oh, man. But I do show up and it's just a 60-second kind of, hey, what's going on today? Let's get out and get purposefully busy. So that's what that's all about. Talk to Tanji 7-ish on Facebook Live.
We should change that for all of our marketing. 7-ish, not 7, not 7, just 7-ish.
But don't you like that, though? Doesn't that work for you? What time you come to work? Oh, I'll be there 9-ish.
I'll be there. I'll get the work done. I'll tell you that. The work will be done.
Absolutely.
I like how you used, being busy, but also you use purpose. Like being busy en route to your purpose. Everything that you do.
Yep.
Is preparation for you walking towards your purpose. So it needs to serve that end goal, that purpose. I like how you said what you just said and how you said it, because you said it the way you said it.
Thank you, Mr. X. Thank you, Mr. X. Thank you very much. But, who was I listening to just a few minutes ago? And someone said something about just be ready. And I thought, okay, so be ready. So you got to be ready, right? And what are you ready for? You're ready for that plan of execution. You're ready to get those things done. So just live life so you don't have any regrets. No one wants that.
Or that Snickers. Amen. Oh, no regrets. But regrets. So everybody, it's Black History Month. It's the final week of Black History Month. I mean, for this segment, at least. We'll continue this endeavor. Every third week of the month, just highlighting people in history who have impacted our lives and who have set us up for success moving forward. And what better way to kick the end this final week of African American history is with love and unity. You know, in 1967, the Loving versus Virginia law of interracial marriage was passed, allowing Richard and Mildred Loving who are interracial couple, Richard being white and Mildred being black, they were able to form a union and become married, and that's the first legal interracial couple in the United States. Now, going back throughout history, it wasn't just African Americans. White people were not allowed to marry any other ethnic or nationality outside of their core group. You're talking about Hispanics, Asian Americans, especially during the whole anti-Semitism time of like the Pearl Harbor. They were not allowed to like be in contact with them. African Americans, Native Americans. So that forced a huge wave of people that divided the nation even more.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, it did. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I want to also mention, sorry, KJ, but regarding Richard and Mildred Loving, like, it wasn't just a case. Like, these people were jailed for being in an interracial relationship. You know, so it got to that point of going to court. Think about everything that they experienced getting through that point and even after. Like, we talk about purpose. We talk about success. Yes, the end goal was reached, but man, let's talk about that middle process.
For sure.
Let's talk about the dirt. You know, let's talk about like when we're dealing with, you know, the rubble. So, you know, that's just a great example of like really fighting for something that you believe in and something that you know is right. Absolutely. And, you know, that is also in connection to God. But think about, most people would not be willing to be put into jail or prison for their beliefs. So think about how fervent, you know, they were when it came to their beliefs.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's the kind of, you know, that we have to have faith. And think about, that's like the extreme version of faith when you think about it. God just wants the mustard seed when it comes to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like looking at the name of the case in general, Loving versus Virginia. That the case had love in it, and I just want to give a shout out to Niles. The movie Loving debuted in 2016. He's in the first opening scene. So if you guys want to check that out on Netflix, go ahead. But one thing that I found very interesting, well, two things actually. The Chief Justice Earl Warren said this for the court. The freedom to marry has long been recognized as one of the vital personal rights essential to the orderly pursuit of happiness by free men. To deny this fundamental freedom on this unsupportable a basis as the racial classification embodied in these statutes, classification so directly subverse of the principle of equality at the heart of the 14th Amendment. So you can see during that statement, he's like, well, wait, it's part of the 14th Amendment.
Right.
Like, what? Why are we dividing people because of who they love?
Right.
You know. So,
can you imagine? I'm sorry. Go ahead. No. Please finish that thought. You sure? I just wanted to say, can you imagine the courage that justice had to endure? That took a lot of courage to stand up for what was right, even as a written law. I mean, come on, man. Who does that?
You have to like cut out the fat in life. Like, hey, this is what it says. Don't go around corners.
Right.
You know, Alabama, like this is fairly recent. Alabama was the final state to allow interracial marriage in November 7th of 2000. So put that in perspective. Wow. This was not even 50 years ago. So this is fairly recent.
This one. And you said 2000, right?
2000. Alabama was.
Now think about how that's lingering in the air. Just because it was legally, you know, put through doesn't mean that people have accepted it mentally.
Right. Absolutely.
20 years ago. So shout out to all the interracial couples. Well, not even just couples, but people who are just friends. You know, we're allowed to be with each other as either a relationship, friends, co-workers, and just be able to interact with each other in love and unity.
Absolutely. Now,
going on to trending topics. I know you guys have been hearing about the great Tiger Woods and the car accident that occurred yesterday. Good news, though. He is doing okay. He is conscious. He has two compound fractures in his leg and shattered his ankle. They had to use the jaws of life to remove the vehicle. And this is coming from the LA Department of Police. So prayers up to Tiger. Prayfully, this is not the end we see of him on the golf court. But our prayers are out for him and his family during this time. Still remaining in the area of sports. We had a big Australian Open this past week. Serena Williams lost to Naomi Osaka. And also Jennifer, I forgot her last name, but she's also part of the U.S., one of the youngest tennis players in the U.S., also got beat by Naomi. She won her fourth. she's won four titles in tennis. So that's amazing to see because she's the first Asian descent to win a title, period.
Isn't that wonderful,
that's
though?
Crazy to see.
Yeah. You know, I'm rooting for my girl, Serena. I really am. But I get it. You know, I really do. And with her just showing up, I think that's pretty good, don't you? Because a lot of people could have said, you know, I'm kind of done, you know, my age or whatever. But she loves this sport.
You know, she also, like, she said that retirement, that's not a thing right now.
Good.
She was, of course, she was doing an interview. she, like, the question came up, are you going to think about retiring? She came off the screen, and, like, you can just see, like, she was getting very flustered. But other than that, she's like, no, I'm not done. She doesn't want to go down like that.
Absolutely.
You know? Kudos to Naomi, 100%. But, you know, they're both making history. They're both
they
making
really
history.
Are.
Oh, for sure. Are. I mean, Serena already, you know, made history, you know.
Even athletes in general, right. You know. Crazy, yeah. Crazy.
And that doesn't take away from her greatness. You know, no. A few losses don't take away from your greatness. God, no. Think about Muhammad Ali, by the end of his career, you know, that's where he lost, you know, the fights and so on. But think about, like, how his impact, you know?
Absolutely.
And outside of the sport.
How'd you know? I was thinking that. I swear to you, I was thinking the exact same thing, in and out the field. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Making our way to London. I'm sorry, I'm just being very weird right now. But Meghan and Prince Harry. Well, we shouldn't be calling Prince Harry. Renounced their royal status. Mm-hmm. The Queen made a statement, and Harry and Meghan made a statement. I just wanted to read that for you guys because I thought it was very interesting. Because now they're going their own separate ways away from the monarchy, and that takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith, because that's independence. And I wanted to bring up the act of serving. Let me just pull that up. Where oh my gosh, I have like multiple tabs open. Okay, here it is. Okay, so they said that. The Queen said that they're no longer part of the working for the royal family, and pursuing the responsibilities and duties that come with the life of public service. Now, the response was, we can all live a life of service. Service is universal. Now, I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I have a question. How can we impact the world without a title? Through serving.
That's good.
I think it depends on your level of passion and your connection to your purpose and connection to God. I feel like when you are connected to God, he shows you and teaches you and gives you examples and instances where you can be selfless. I feel like when you're selfless, that means that you also understand the importance and the need, the internal need also for yourself, because when you serve others, you also get that internal fulfillment as well. I think it depends on where you are with that. And I think when you are in the right place and when you are under the reign of the Creator, then he will put you in the right place. And, you know, even if you think your service is small, it's not small to the person that you're serving. You never know how you're impacting people, even if it's one at a time. It's like that, you know, the story where, you know, someone who had $5 gave $3, and a person who had $1 million gave $2.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it all depends on, you know, the passion, the purpose, and the heart behind what you're doing.
Oh, gosh, and, absolutely.
You know, over time, you know, you can reach many people, and it can have a profound effect. And as I say, one person is progress.
You better believe it. Seriously. To piggyback off what Niles is saying, I didn't start using my title until maybe a few years ago. I would leave off a title and I'd just show up to serve. It was my husband, happy birthday, husband, who would say, let him know that you're a bar- let him know you're a doctor. Let him know you're a doctor. I'm like, but it does not matter. I just want to serve. You know, I just want to be there for folk. So when I was volunteering at the shelter, Los Angeles Mission, and they're doing a wonderful job housing the unhoused and getting them where they need to be, I didn't go to the clinic. I went to the kitchen. And I would be so excited getting ready to prepare breakfast for the day, because it gave me an opportunity to give someone something to eat and an encouraging word, you know? It was nothing to hug a child and let them know, babe, you're going to be fine. I promise you. Just be obedient to mommy and daddy and so on and so forth. So just giving of yourself and not having to tell anyone, guess what I did? You know, or look at me. Everything's mm-hmm. not a Facebook moment. Everything's not Instagram. Yeah. It's just not. If you put someone up and they're houseless, then you've done a wonderful thing. Keep doing it. Keep your head down and keep serving. We don't have mm-hmm. to run and tell folk what we're doing. If you do that, then the only glory that's there is your glory and not his. So,
Amen.
You want to be careful. Mm-hmm. You want to be careful with that. So my take.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I find it really great because they're finding another way to get their voices out there, especially Megan. Both of them have a deal with Spotify. Mm-hmm. They have their own podcast, their own children programming. To encourage people and to help people live a better life. So that's kudos to them.
Kudos.
And making our way down to Atlanta, the NBA All-Star Game, which is on March 7th, they're donating. They're using this event during this time to bring awareness for HBCUs and also COVID-19 relief. NBA player and he's part of the player association. Chris Paul is making a docuseries about HBCUs. How it's not that they're useless or they have nothing to offer. They just have lack of resources.
Absolutely.
So Dr. T, being from Jackson,
Jackson. Yes, you baby.
Go ahead. What's one thing that you would have to say about your experience in Jackson and what HBCUs have to offer? Because I don't go to an HBCU and Niles,
Okay. You didn't either, Mr. X.
I was trying to say where.
It was a quick take of like why HBCUs are important and give us like a brief definition of what they are.
Absolutely, I will. Historically, Black colleges and universities, remember, guys, they started in churches. They started in someone's home. They started underneath a tree because we didn't have access. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So my experience, mind you, I wasn't your average student. I was divorced, 3 children, 2 dogs, 28 years old, saying I'm going to go to college. And after I finished that, I'm going to med school. So I was a 31-year-old medical student. Can you imagine that? But my experience with HBCU, I didn't feel like there was a deficit because the professors were wonderful. They were compassionate. Every one of my professors, I've majored in psychology and minored in biology. Every last one of them had something that they were bringing to the table, even if they were not, you know, Black or brown. But I really loved it. I did. I still do. And I support them. I'm a lifelong alumni. And then Ty even, you know, followed in my footsteps and went there. So Oh, absolutely. Sorry about that. But yeah, I honestly believe that there is a rich history. And when I go back now, a lot of the students don't look like me or us. They are different. And you're like, wow, look at Jackson State, you know? So it's really good. And I especially, and I'm working on getting this gentleman on the show. I don't want to say too much, but there are some connections that are going on that I was able to make in Atlanta, and Deion Sanders, God bless him for taking up that mantle and being there and showing people that it can be done. My husband's brother played in the NFL and they're really good friends. So I'm going to use that card. So stay tuned for that. But I definitely, my hat goes off to people who mm-hmm. are considering HBCUs. Absolutely.
100%. And it's not just for African-Americans. No. Like you said, like there are people from other persuasions who go to HBCUs.
Right.
And we're just trying to highlight them and say, hey, these are just as important as just as an Ivy League, you know. But you have some good news to share with the people.
Okay, here's a shameless plug.
Don't. This like, you gotta whip.
I know, right?
Show me a model pose. Go ahead and boom. Hey.
After how many years of starting something and putting it down, either I was getting ready to have a baby or getting ready to get married or getting ready to get a divorce or whatever it was, there were so many reasons why it didn't happen when it should have happened. So again, to anybody, if you're my age or younger or older, it is not too late. I swear to you, it's not. Just get busy. So yes, I finally got the first book out. I've got like 9 more that I've written but haven't published just yet. But yeah, man, it was a labor of, my God, sacrifices and love.
Could you give us a short description of the book? Not revealing too much.
For sure.
Just tease the audience. Okay. Give them a spoonful of sugar.
I'm going to give you a spoonful of sugar. I like that. This book, it just chronicles 7 days. And someone said, well, that's not enough. I said, no. I'll give you 21 days, but let me just give you 7. So it chronicles 7 days of just unlearning some of the things that you've learned and challenging you to look inward, okay, to establish that relationship with him, and then to move on what it's already been done. God will never start a plan without allow you to come to the earth without giving you purpose, without giving you a plan. So that's what the book does. It forces you to write some things down. And if you know anything about, and I know you guys do, but learning, the best way to learn anything is to write it down and to rehearse it over and over. So that's what the word tells us, right? Meditate on the word, chew. So when you're looking at that word meditate, it just basically means to chew, to ponder, to do all of those things that get the word in you so that you can live from the inside out. And that's what the book does. It really makes you pay attention to those areas that you may have some deficits in. Like for me, it was not doing what I'm supposed to do. I am a big procrastinator. So after this book, you will not be procrastinating anymore. So it was just I was in a place where I was kind of broken, man. So not to give a lot out, but
yeah.
I'm not writing from a broken perspective. I'm writing from 2 perspectives: deliverance, God does, and freedom. That's me. You choose to be free. He does the deliverance, and then you make up your mind to be free. That's what the book is about.
That's what the book is about, being free. Being free. I'm shattering the chains that are holding you back from your potential. You know, I what's one thing that people will take away from the book? What's one thing that you think, like, you know what? I think people will do X, Y, and Z, you know?
Okay. I think they'll divorce excuses. I think on day 3, when you make it, not if, I don't like those little objectives.
Don't spoil too much. Don't spoil too much. All right.
No more excuses.
No more excuses?
No more excuses. You're going to divorce excuses. You really are.
Divorce excuses. I like that. Divorce excuses. Like you were married with me. I was having a conversation with one of my friends before, and they were saying that, yeah, I can, like, I want to do this. I'm like, okay, just do X, Y, and Z, but what about X? What about this? What about this? What about that? And I'm like, you just psyched yourself out of you performing this task, you know?
Absolutely.
And uses are a huge hindrance of starting.
Oh my gosh. How much time do we waste, man? Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excuses. You know, Dr. T, one thing that I know about you, you are a jolt of energy, you know, and I'm 100% sure that this book does that, gives you life.
Yeah.
You know?
I pray it does, man.
You are one person that who can jumpstart their day just by saying hi.
Thank you.
This book, I am 100% getting it once it's online. Dr. T?
If I'm not mistaken, you can actually order from Kindle now. And at the close of this show, you'll be able to order it from Amazon.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. At the close of this show.
Hard copy,
okay.
And you guys are making that happen, right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is for the viewers. They need to be inspired.
Gosh, absolutely.
You have a lot to say, and I'm sure that's 1% of your life that you shared in that book. Because you can't capture all of those moments that has helped you get where you are.
Oh my God.
If we had to make a movie about you, it'll be like Star Wars. Like we would need multiple movies because you have
I'll accept that.
you overcame a lot.
Oh dear God, don't you dare make me cry, man. I got this stuff right here.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you know what? I learned all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who really are the called into his purpose. So every instance where you think, oh my God, I made a mistake, or oh my God, this is a setback, it's all working for your good, even if you don't believe that. Just capture it if you can. Realize it that where I find myself now, it's going to work for my good. So all things work for your good. So this, everything that happened, worked for my good, is working for my good.
That's good.
Absolutely. That's good. Yeah.
For our listeners, just want to know what's next. What's next with you? What's next?
Come on the KJ, man.
I heard you got 9 books coming out. Is that true?
What is that? Say it again.
I heard you have 9 books coming out. Is that true?
See, here's the plan, right? My plan, God's purpose. I want to do 17 books that I literally publish while I'm living, and then I'm going to do another 17 that I'm going to put in my safety deposit box, and that's for my grandchildren. And every year for 17 years, I want one of those grandchildren to publish a book. It's intellectual property. You'll have that for a long time, and that's part of the legacy that I really want to live, because I'm living a great life now, but what about the next generation? You got to leave them something. You don't want to have the next generation start from scratch. That's not fair. Yep. Now you're thinking about a generational wealth, a divide. You know, we're kind of, as a community, we are doing better. The tables have not always been fair, but we are making strides. So you want to leave the next generation something. Absolutely.
Why 17? Why 34, 17? Yeah. Is that number special for you?
It was, 17 is the year that I was, when I was 17 years old, I was nominated for the Academy. It's the year that I, of course, couldn't go because at that time, pregnant cadets could not go to the Air Force. So 17 was, it was a difficult year, but it was a year of, you know what? I'm still going to do something great in this world. I've got to serve the world with these big hands. So that's why 17 is so important to me. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we congratulate you. You are doing it. People need to hear your story. People are always looking for something to connect to because it connects to their lives. And not in a way where like, oh man, I aspire to be this, but it's I aspire to be this, but I see where that came from. So that makes it something that they can aspire to and they can make it an actuality. If you started here and you went through X, Y, and Z and you're here now, that gives me some hope. And we're all here to be vessels and pillars and representations of the light. So anything that moves forward, any kind of progress, anything, relative to that is God.
Amen. Amen, yeah. Man. Seriously.
Put on that smile and push. That's one thing that I know that one that you do, even though it's like, even when times it's like, hey, everything's gonna work out. I said, the house is on fire. Everything's gonna work out. What? like that, if you don't, like, once you get to know Dr. T, everybody, it's just like, she is a breath of fresh air.
Thank you so much.
Calming when, the house could be on fire, like I said. She's like, all right, cool. Everything's going to work out. Good. Sitting in the fire, nothing happening.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Can I say this true story? True story. And then you continue, I swear. True story. All right. So All right. So your doorbell rings and you run to the door. Now, mind you, you're looking at foreclosure. Okay. Your telephone's off because you can't pay the bill. And guess who's at the door on a Sunday morning? It's the repo man coming to get my van. And I want to go to church. I want to take my babies to church. The guy rings the doorbell. Miss Scott. I'm like, yes, sir. He says, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but we've got to take your van. I said, okay. I'm thinking, how am I going to get the kids to church? That's the only thing I'm thinking about, right? So the guy takes the van. Lo and behold, 30 minutes later, my mom drives up. Hey, Pootie, I tried to call you. The phone wasn't working. So I just wanted to know if you guys wanted to go to church. So I said all that to say, no matter where you may find yourself, you know, the smile is real. It's real. It's about as real as I can be, because I promise God, when you deliver me from this, I'm going to go back. And if I have to drag some folk, come on, man, come on, get your business plan. Come on, start that business. Come on, go back to school. Let's go. Because anybody can give an excuse. But if he's already won and you're part of his DNA, you got the same DNA. That means everything you do, you win. Even if it looks like you're going 10 steps back. So I encourage anybody, start that business, write that book, you know, go on a safari if that's what you're wanting to do. But whatever you do, live. Please live from the inside out. Yeah. 100%. That's my take.
The inside out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
About to close the show, everybody. Everybody be sure to buy Dr. T's book. Yeah. The hard copy will be available right after the show. be sure to log in on Amazon and download your copy or buy your hard copy, and the man in the van will drop a box at your door.
Yeah, I guess he will. with a smile.
With a smile.
And don't forget, please, on our YouTube channel at Dr. Tanji Show, we've got coming up for Friday at 6 p.m. the release of a show that I think it was part four of our faith walk. And believe it or not, we've got Alilia Bundles, who's the great, great granddaughter. Is that right? Of Madam CJ Walker. When she came on the show, guys, I was like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't want to let her see me sweat, but to know that her great grandmother, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of this great woman, you know. And then, of course, Chris Holbert, he talks also about his faith walk and putting content out so that it's something that does inspire and motivate. And that's what the show is about. It's not to bring anybody down. It's not to say I'm better than you. It is an opportunity to showcase what you're doing in the community, in right where you are. I think Niall said some shows ago, is you don't have to do anything so great that it just, you know, revolutionized the world. Just start where you are. Start in your home. And if you got children, let your children see you do it so that they can think you're a hero. That is so cool when your kids think that you're a hero. KJ taught me to be a superhero. So I oftentimes have to put on my superhero cape. But I have truly enjoyed having this show today, especially today. Yesterday was my beloved's birthday. We're living through losing Harvey Quez Stokes. And that was really important for me to get the book out on yesterday so that I could celebrate his life. And that's what we're doing. You know, we have our moments. If you're going through the grieving process of mourning, just know that God will turn your mourning into dancing. If you trust him, he'll do it. I swear to you, he will.
And mourning into dancing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a promise, man. So that's what we do. We live this thing out, and we're not doing it by ourselves. If you think you can walk this faith out by yourself, you're fooling yourself. It's not positive affirmations. It's not. It's knowing that word believing that mm-hmm. word, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he does so well. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So, hey, guess what? That's our show. So join us every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here, LA Talk Radio, Niles and KJ. They bring it home. They bring it. They do. And, yeah, go out and smile. Don't forget, it's well. No matter where you find yourself, all is well. And until next time, I love you, love you, love you to the moon and the stars. Thank you for your support. Thank you so very much. We'll see you soon. Bye.